Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Cruise Radio is brought to you in part by TripInsurance.com. Travel insurance done right by the people who know travel insurance. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here, my friend. We're going to check in with Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy with Cruise News, in just a couple of seconds. Also, Dr. Chris from San Diego just returned from a seven-night sailing out of Galveston aboard Royal Caribbean's Liberty of the Seas. Looking forward to talking to Dr. Chris here later on in the show as well. But before that, a couple of housekeeping things. Cruise Radio News. Look us up on Facebook. It's our Cruise Radio News Facebook group. Join the conversation. We'd love to have you. A lot of opinions in there. I love it. Just keep them coming. Also, I recently just signed up for Snapchat, and I'll be sailing on Carnival Conquest next week, and I'll be snapping along the way there for the 6 nights. So if you want to follow along, look me up on Snapchat. Just follow Cruise Radio. We'd love to follow you back there as well. All right, Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, is standing by. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, Doug, how's it going?
Good, man. Coming right out of the gate here, just announced a couple of hours ago, Carnival Inspiration is going in for a massive 3-week-long dry dock. What are we going to see here?
Well, we're going to see the addition of Guy's Burger Joint.
Love it.
We're going to add the Blue Iguana Cantina, the Red Frog Rum Bar, the Alchemy Bar, Blue Iguana Tequila Bar, and Cherry on Top, which is the candy store. So these are a lot of the features that are found on the new ships that we're now going to see on more of the fantasy class ships, as it's apparent that Carnival Cruise Line is really going to be doing some significant upgrades to their oldest ships to make them more relevant and equipped with the latest and greatest that they've got. And as we've seen, the Red Frog Rum Bar really seems to have done exceptionally well, where they were able to create their own fun bar on board their ship, where other lines like NCL, they went with like Margaritaville, which really just doesn't have the same kind of a feel that they were hoping for.
I guess it's a lot cheaper keeping the branding in the house too, huh?
Well, I mean, it's their own.
Yeah,
they don't have to pay any licensing fees, and they really developed a nice product. So if you've ever been on any of the Carnival ships, you know what I'm talking about, because it's really a fun place to hang out and meet friends and eat and drink and Be merry,
yeah. A couple of weeks ago, actually last week, we talked about Norwegian Cruise Line. They were changing their branding for 2016. And then a couple of days ago, Celebrity Cruises announced that they were changing branding. What are we seeing? Like, what kind of shift are we seeing with Celebrity's branding and the new branding?
Well, they're going with modern luxury. I mean, they've had modern luxury for years. Mm-hmm. But what they're doing is they're declaring that modern luxury lives here. And so they're going to try to grab people's attention, try to, educate people that, the adventures and the great destinations that they go to. I mean, they really do have, I mean, the Solstice class ships are really spectacular. And, I think the Marco Polo thing is pretty weak.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen the commercials.
Yes.
But, it's nice to see, some changes, but, I think the commercials fell flat. The messaging, as far as modern luxury lives here, I mean, that's great, but everything else, I think, fell off a cliff.
So this next story is kind of interesting because MSC Cruises has been calling the MSC Seaside that's coming up. They keep calling it the iPhone of the sea, but now they just announced a partnership with Samsung. So is it really going to be the iPhone of the sea still?
It's silly. And, then they call it the next generation smart ship. Well, they're going to have, so essentially, Doug, what they're going to be doing is Samsung is one of the greatest technology companies in the world. So they're going to be having, Samsung HD flat, screen TVs and public displays and all the kinds of digital signage. And, they're going to have smartphones and tablets. offering virtual reality and 36-degree experiences. They're going to have different technology that's in their medical centers, which really doesn't appeal to many people. But they're not talking about anything that makes this ship smart. I mean, it's kind of like a dumb ship with, flashy screens.
Right.
It's not like, with Royal Caribbean, who originated the term smart ship with their Quantum class ships, where they have this greatly improved satellite technology that, connects the ships, with the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. Not to mention all the different, technology that's available around the ship. I mean, it's going to be great. I'm a huge fan of Samsung. It's great that they're going to be able to, utilize this technology to make the passenger experiences better. We'll have to wait to find out what the tablets and smartphones will be able to do. But it's a nice step in a good direction.
Have we heard anything? How like celebrities does iPhone and Mac courses on their ships. Have we heard anything about them selling like Samsung phones on their ships?
But I would think that would be inevitable.
Yeah,
where they would have the first Samsung store at sea,
mm-hmm.
where
yeah, why not?
Celebrity on Celebrity Eclipse was the first cruise ship to have actually an iStore at sea.
Yeah. Interesting. Moving on here. Norwegian Cruise Line has delayed the opening of their new private island. Is it an island or is it just a destination for them?
It's a private island.
Okay.
Off the coast of Belize.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty extensive. And, it appears that construction may have fallen behind a little or it's just not where they want it to be. So they have delayed the first ship arrivals until November of 2016.
Hmm. I wonder if it was supposed to open like next month or in 2 months, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Interesting.
But, you're not going to open something like that up if it's not ready.
Is this the place that they're calling it like Banana Coast or something like that? Or is that something different?
This is Harvest Key.
Okay.
And
what is Banana Coast?
Yeah, the Banana Coast appears to have fallen off. It didn't really get very good reviews.
Okay. All right, then. That was on Honduras, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. In closing here, Windstar Pride, actually it's the Windstar Star Pride, got grounded and it caused some cancellation. I want to know what happened, but they grounded this ship on like a UNESCO World Heritage Site, didn't they?
It was offshore as they were pulling in. It was just off the western side of Panama, mm-hmm. As it was approaching the canal. And it caused enough damage to the ship that they had to cancel the sailing. They canceled the next couple sailings. And essentially, after extensive reviews, they've canceled sailings through April 9th.
Wow.
So the grounding was December 22nd off Isla de Coiba. And right now the ship is in Balboa, Panama, where, they do have a dry dock. And, they're working on, getting the ship back together. And, so this way she's seaworthy and she can make that April 9th sailing. So, better safe than sorry, I guess.
Yeah. All right, Stuart, before you hop here, we do have a question from Jessica down in Tampa. She said, I noticed that some cruise lines do promos where the third and fourth passengers sail for free. We recently did this on NCL with our two small kids. My question is, does this usually still apply if you get a suite?
Usually it does, but it also depends on the specific sailing that you're sailing on. So I strongly recommend that you talk to your agent and ensure that the specific sailing, ship and sailing that you're interested in, does have the third and fourth free applied. But usually it would cover passengers sailing in the suites.
So generally, a third and fourth guest sailing for free. They're sailing for free, but they're still paying the port taxes on the third and fourth person. Is that how that works?
They are paying the government taxes.
All right. Very nice. Well, I think that's a wrap. So we've been talking with Stuart Chiron, the Cruise Guy. Find him online at cruiseguy.com or follow him on Twitter at Cruise Guy. Thank you, man.
Hey, my pleasure.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, part of the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now. 6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
From its rich heritage, picturesque beaches, and unparalleled blue waters, it's no wonder over 7 million people cruise to the Caribbean every year. What do you want to do? Swim with stingrays at Stingray Bay? Go for an island tour? Take a beach break? Or set sail on a catamaran to spend the day snorkeling? Whatever you decide, cruisingexcursions.com has a shore excursion to fit your budget. Cruising Excursions knows your time on the island is limited and that you want to make the most of your day. That's why they have shore excursions up to 60% cheaper than the cruise lines and offer smaller, more personable tours. Find out for yourself. Research and book your next shore excursion at cruisingexcursions.com.
We'd love to hear your comments. Email comments at cruiseradio.net.
We always like to get your cruise reviews here on the show. If you have one you'd like to share, shoot me an email, doug@cruiseradio.net. Like Chris, he just returned from a 7-night Western Caribbean sailing aboard Royal Caribbean's Liberty of the Seas, and he's on the line this evening. How are you doing, Chris?
Good. How about you, Doug?
Good, my friend. Happy New Year. We'll get to Royal Caribbean's Liberty of the Seas in just a minute, find out about the ship and all the bells and whistles on her. But let's take a step back right now, and let's talk about some pre-cruise thoughts. What made you want to sail Liberty of the Seas?
We haven't done a Freedom Class ship yet for Royal. Wanted to try one of the mega ships. We had tried Disney's biggest ship, Carnival's biggest ship, and wanted to see how Royals compared. And we've been on other Royal ships, but, you know, they always talk about the newest, biggest, and best ship. So it was time to try it out.
Yeah, because these ships, these Freedom Class ships, I think they were like the biggest ships in the world before, what, Allure of the Seas and Oasis came out?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah,
like
and I think they're, what, probably third largest ships in the world. I think Quantum is in between the Freedom and the Oasis class, and they're still bigger than the Carnival and Disney ships.
Yeah,
so they're a good size.
Yeah, these are huge ships. Now, you live over in San Diego, California. You had to get to Galveston, which sometimes can be tricky if you don't fly directly into Galveston. So logistically, how did you get to the cruise port?
We have a pretty good hub here for Southwest, so we flew right into Hobie, I'm not sure how it's pronounced,
sure.
Airport, which is the closer of the Houston airports.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a really good rate on a rental car. So we actually just paid to park it at a private lot at the port that was close enough that we could lug our bags straight to the ship without having to deal with the traffic of the port.
Nice. So you just keep the rental car at the parking lot and then drove it back once you got off the ship?
Yeah, we had 2 days pre-cruise, so we needed a car anyway. And actually, when we did the math, it was cheaper to pay for the rental and park it than it was to do a private transfer. So it made sense and gave us a lot more flexibility.
Very cool. So you go to board Liberty of the Seas there in Galveston. How was the embarkation process for you?
For us, it was fairly good because, like I said, we walked our bags across the street. We didn't have to deal with the traffic along Harborside Drive. It went fairly smooth. There was a little system glitch with my reservation, so that took a little time to resolve. But other than that, we were on board probably in 30 minutes, even with the system glitch. But it took me another 30 minutes on board to rectify that.
Gotcha. Not bad. Now, you make your way on board Liberty of the Seas. You said this was your very first Freedom Class ship. So what were your first impressions?
It was amazing. My wife actually said when we entered the Royal Promenade, which is the mall-like setting down the center of the ship, that she didn't feel like she was on a ship.
Right. So much to do there. And yeah, it's like almost like you're walking down, at least for me, like a shopping mall.
Yeah, very close. They have a car in front of the wine bar. They have a pizza shop, a coffee shop. It's very like a shopping district or a Riverwalk type feeling.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you make your way to your stateroom. So what kind of stateroom did you have, and what did you think of it?
We were actually offered an upgrade by Royal Caribbean, but it was at the front of the ship, which my wife doesn't do. So we actually got bumped down to deck 2, and they gave us a number of credit for that. So that was a nice compensation. We had an ocean view cabin on deck 2.
Okay. And what do you think about the interior of the cabin as far as space goes and then, you know, the luggage storage and all that?
Luggage fit fine under the bed. It's your typical Royal Caribbean cabin, you know, 170, 180 square feet. I did find the closet space a little small. It wasn't too small for a seven-day cruise, but I wouldn't want to do it for an extended length cruise.
Gotcha.
This had slightly less storage than like the Radiance class we had sailed last year.
Was your son with you on this one?
Yes.
Okay.
This was his 14th cruise.
Wow. What is he like? Is he like eight now?
He's eight. He'll be nine at the end of the month.
Wow. Time's flying by. So let's talk about dining aboard Liberty of the Seas. We'll start at the top at the Windjammer Cafe and work our way down. So I'll let you go ahead and take this one.
We didn't hit Windjammer, I think, until the second day. We opted to do Park Cafe and Sorrento's Pizza just to avoid that first day chaos that is the buffet on any ship. But the Windjammer for lunch got a little repetitive. It was a lot of the same, as was the Park Cafe and the Sorrento's, kind of always the same sandwiches, pizzas, whatnot. At night, though, they really did a superb job. Meats carved to order, pasta made to order. They had crepes made to order one night. So at night, they really shined. They had a Johnny Rockets adjacent one deck up that was actually really good for an extra $7. And what they did on this ship that I really liked is on deck 11, which is the same as the Windjammer poolside on port days, they would do cooking. So the first day they had paella, and the second day they had a really good chili.
You know, actually, it's funny that you mentioned Johnny Rockets, because I just had my very first Johnny Rockets 3 days ago in Orlando. And
how was it?
It was good, but yeah, it was just interesting because, you know, you go on a ship, like you were saying, and you paid $7, but my meal was like $21.
Then I guess we got a bargain. I should say, even though they just recently raised the price, I think it used to be $5 or $6, they do include a soft drink now.
Okay.
So you're getting something there, and it includes as much as you want to eat. They start you off with fries and onion rings on the table. It includes a dessert, either pie or a sundae. So $7 is not a bad deal overall.
No, not at all. So how was the dining experience in the main dining room?
Dining was good. We had Mai Tai dining, and we never had to wait for a table. They made an effort to always sit us with the same servers, so they got to know our likes or dislikes. And on a couple of occasions, my son went to the kids' club, and we would feed him at the Windjammer before, but he was always hungry after, so we were able to get an entree to go so he could have, you know, something of better quality than a slice of pizza.
Sure. What was your favorite meal in the main dining room?
They did have an interesting fried fish. They said you're not so traditional fish and chips, and it was coated in cornflakes and Rice Krispie treats.
Ah, that's interesting. Very interesting. How about, did you do any specialty venues on the ship?
Yeah, we did Chops Grill, which we've done on our last three Royal Caribbean cruises, and it was very good. My wife's not much of a steak eater, but she did get the filet mignon and was able to polish that off.
Nice.
So that tells you that it was must have been fairly tasty. I have found, I like your different cuts. My favorite would be the ribeye. And I've tried the New York at Chops, and it just doesn't compare. Your best choice there is really the filet mignon.
Very nice. Let's talk about entertainment on board Liberty of the Seas. So what did you think of the entertainment as far as, did you see any of the production shows first off?
We did. We went to the Welcome Aboard show, the comedian they had. They actually had two comedians. And we did Saturday Night Live as well as the ice show.
Cool. Any big favorites, or did you do any like first, like maybe do some ice skating or anything like that?
You know, the ice skating was kind of the thorn in my wife's side. We went to do ice skating ourselves. They have an open ice skating, but they only could accommodate 200 or 300 people the entire cruise. So when you have almost 4,000 passengers, that was kind of irritating, that they just didn't open it up enough for the passengers who really wanted to do it.
Is that complimentary?
It is. It was much easier to access the Flow Rider and the Rock Wall than it was to access ice skating. And that might be because they have multiple shows, so they have to schedule around the ice shows, which are phenomenal, by the way. It was really good. They break it up by muster station so it doesn't get overcrowded, rather than doing reservations. They also have Saturday Night Live in the main showroom, and I'm not much into production shows on ships, nor is my wife, but we do like musicals, and this was actually, I think, the first production show she sat through on a cruise without leaving early, because it had a story and it was, you know, fluid.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I can't really, I'm not a big fan of production shows, but when I saw We Will Rock You on Anthem of the Seas, the Queen tribute show, it was really, really good. But I really like the musical aspect. Like, I really love a live orchestra.
Yeah, and they, Royal Caribbean is known for having a live orchestra. I didn't realize it at the time until the end. I assumed they were playing to a music soundtrack, but they were actually, it was the live band behind the scenes playing the music for the entire Saturday Night Live show, which is almost an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, you mentioned the Flow Rider. Could you reserve that in advance before you sailed?
Not on the Liberty. No. They may do it on Oasis and Allure, but to be honest, there wasn't a need. I mean, there was a line when we went, but I think it took maybe 30 minutes at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you enough time to build up your nerves to actually do it.
Did you get to hang 10?
I did not, but I did not wipe out either.
Oh, well, there you go.
You know, I figure that's a win.
Yeah, win-win there. Let's talk about the kid program for a minute, because your son always loves the kids programs. What did he think of this one?
He liked it a lot. He seemed a little more hesitant at first because it, in his mind, looked like the others and it was going to be the same. Mm-hmm. But he really enjoyed it. And what they did is they actually copied something similar to what Carnival does in their late night programming. It was themed every night. So one night they had like a trash the room night.
Mm-hmm.
One night it was a talent show night. One night it was tournament night. So after 10 o'clock, when you have to pay, they would have a theme night to encourage or entertain the kids rather than just throw on a movie and have them sit there.
Very cool.
So my son was really into that.
Let's talk about sea days on the ship, as far as how did the ship behave on sea days in the public areas, inside and out, as far as passenger flow and all of that?
It did well. I mean, that's when we did the Flow Rider. It wasn't overly crowded. The only issue, I would say, would be access to the open skating. They just had too many people on board and couldn't accommodate all of them. But there were no areas of mass congestion, as
right.
you like to say.
Exactly.
Even during the DreamWorks parade in the Royal Promenade, it was crowded, but it wasn't impossible to get around. So it handles the crowds very, very well.
That's very good to hear. Now, what ports did you hit, and which one really stuck out and that you had like a bang-up time in?
We hit Cozumel, Roatan, Honduras, and Belize.
Mm-hmm.
We had been to Belize and Cozumel before, had not been to Roatan. We did the Lobster Reef or Lobster City snorkel, which was good. A little pricey for what was offered. It was a lot of beach break and not as much snorkeling. But it was good. It was very shallow waters, so you could stand up where you were snorkeling. So for a novice snorkeler, it would be a good one, as it wouldn't evoke much anxiety.
Yeah.
Belize is great. We actually did the Jaguar and Dark Knight Cave tubing,
mm-hmm.
and that was fun. It's not like our Dominica tubing where you actually have rapids. You're really more kind of pulled through the river by a guide. But they break you up into groups of eight, and you get to see the stalactites and stalagmites and kind of get a cave trekking in there on the way to the river. So that was pretty fun. Belize, though, of course, you have the long tender ride, so that can be a bit of annoying. I think we ended up waiting in the main theater an hour and a half before we were able to board a tender.
Ah, wow. Do you book your own excursions, or do you book them through the cruise line?
You know, we do. We fluctuate a lot. Like last cruise, we booked them all on our own.
Mm-hmm.
This cruise, we had an onboard credit, so we did the snorkeling through the ship. And in Belize, the savings wasn't that great. And having to deal with tenders, if you had a private tour, we just did it through the ship out of convenience.
Whenever you're researching your independent shore tours, I'm just curious, because when I was on my 10-night cruise last month, I asked this question a lot to people, and I got a variety of different answers. Are you using, to do your research, like TripAdvisor and like Cruise Critic and things like that?
Yeah, I do TripAdvisor. Not so much Cruise Critic anymore, because
mm-hmm.
It gets harder to kind of weed through it. I go to shoreexcursions.com, shoretrips.com, the one that I've heard on your show. as well to comparison shop.
Nice.
I just look to what interests us. We were actually going to do zip lining in Roatan, but my wife wasn't too savvy on the number of zip lines they were offering. So, and she had co-workers who had gone to Honduras previously and said the snorkeling was superb, and that's what you really needed to do. So we kind of used previous people's advice.
Cool. Let's talk about disembarkation once you get back to Galveston. How was the disembarkation process in the port?
We had heard that disembarking in Galveston can be a bit crazy, so we opted to do self-assist, which is their name for just carry it off yourself. And we got there about 15 minutes before the designated time, and they had already lined people up to get off the ship. And even though we carried our own bags, it took just slightly more than an hour to get off the ship. Oh. So I would guess like 800 people decided to do self-assist.
How was the customs line there in Galveston?
You know, it was a little slow. They had a number of agents. I want to say they probably had 12 stations running. Mm-hmm. But even that said and done with the 800 or so people getting off, and a lot of crew were getting off too. I think we were in our rental car by 10 after 9.
Okay.
And we could have been to the airport by 10 o'clock had we not kind of sightseed and stopped at a few places.
Do you have any first-time tips for either A, people sailing out of Galveston, or B, sailing on Liberty of the Seas?
Galveston has a lot to offer. I would recommend, you know, getting there a day or two before to explore the area. There's a very historic kind of theme park. They call it the Pleasure Pier, I believe, that has some fun rides. And we were like 10 minutes from the port, so being able to enter the port from the non-traffic side and park and just walk across the street to the ship was great. It reduced a lot of headache and hassle, and I would just recommend rent a car, find a close lot that you can walk from, and not deal with the traffic.
I did a cruise line transfer once from Houston Hobby to Galveston, and what was really annoying about it, and I would have gotten a private shuttle if I would have known this, but it actually circled the airport until it filled up, going from terminal to terminal, and I was getting dizzy how many times we went around the circle. So yeah, in future I think I will definitely rent a car or get a private service to go down to Galveston from Houston.
I have rarely found the cruise lines transfers to be economical. I can't remember how much they were. I want to say they were in the $30 to $40 range. Mm-hmm. And really, it was about how much we spent to park a rental car. In Europe, it's even more absurd. I think it would have cost us $300 each way, and a private transfer was about $100 for the three of us.
So in closing here, what are your final thoughts of Liberty of the Seas?
Liberty is a great ship. If you're looking for kind of the not so traditional cruise ship experience, it's great. We really enjoyed the Broadway show, the large pool deck, movies by the pool, etc. No regrets overall.
We've been talking with Chris over in San Diego. He just returned from a 7-night Western Caribbean cruise aboard Royal Caribbean's Liberty of the Seas. Chris, it was great talking to you. Happy New Year, and thanks for being on the show.
Same to you. Thank you.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.